You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. It's Knockouts and Three Counts. And before we get into all the good stuff that we got coming up on today's episode, let me let you guys know that this episode of Knockouts and Three Counts is brought to you by Audible. You can start a 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free by going to audible.com/Detroit or by texting Detroit to 500-500. That's audible.com/Detroit or texting Detroit to 500-500. Audible books are a great sidekick for summer activities like hiking, sunbathing on the beach, running, road tripping, enjoying downtime outdoors, and much, much more. Currently, I'm listening to Ronda Rousey's book, Your Fight, My Fight. Hey, Kyle, what book are you reading right now, man?
I'm actually reading two books, asshole, so we're all right.
Which sane novels are you reading?
What about... I know you're.
I'm reading Slobber Knocker, My Life in Wrestling, and Second Nature.
By the great Jim Ross.
Yep, and The Nature Boy.
Yes, sir. And you can check out these books also on Audible. You can start your 30-day trial and get your first Audible book for free. So you can try any of these books that we're reading right now or listening to right now. And you can do that by going to audible.com/Detroit or texting Detroit to 500-500. All right, fellas. How's it going?
Can't complain, man.
Another day above ground is always a good one to me.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and throw our social media and any plugs that we have going on. Mr. Campbell, we'll start with you, sir.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kyle Campbell. You can find me on Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Team Chaos, K-A-Y-O-S. I plug the show, so, you know, listen and subscribe to Knockouts and Three Counts on Facebook and the site knockoutsandthreecounts.com.
Alrighty. Mr. Collison.
What's up, everybody? This is the White Kyle. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T.
And I am Devin McKenzie. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E-6-3. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News page on Facebook where we talk wrestling. And hey, if you need a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you find the vehicle you would like to purchase, you can go into Southfield Quality Cars and use the reference code 19309 and you will receive $500 off on your purchase. That is 19309 to get $500 off. Mr. Callison, why don't you go ahead and introduce our special guest that we have on the line?
That code was actually 1939, but on the line with us.
Thomas, you've ever said that. Usually you scream like...
See, you see how that... but on the line with us, we have a guy who, for many of you that watch the local shows around the Detroit area, may have seen him at promotions like XICW, Metro Pro. He was trained by Seth Rollins, and even here by Truth Martini, we have Travis Titan on the line with us. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
No problem. And Travis, well, if people want to find you on social medias or if you have any shows coming up, why don't you go ahead and let people know where they can find all that information?
Yeah, so I kind of feel like an idiot because I forgot which one's which. Instagram, I believe, is just Travis Titan. And my Twitter is at The Real Travis Titan.
Don't worry, Randy.
And yeah, I actually have a big show coming up in, I mean, everybody, I don't know if they're listening in Detroit, but I have a big show coming up in Iowa this coming Friday. It's actually like a war game setup sort of match. Ooh, we have two rings, 10 guys, and it's an elimination tornado tag. Oh, so that's about the only thing I really have this weekend. And then I got a couple of shows coming up in Detroit. There's one September 9th at the Hot Rocks Cafe, formerly known as the Ritz. And then I don't remember. I know it's in Detroit, but it's also for XICW on September 16th. I can't remember exactly where it's at.
I think that's the one at the Masonic
Temple. Show coming up. What's up?
I think that one's at the Masonic Temple.
Yes, I believe you're correct. So, yep, I got that coming up, and you know, looking forward to it. So.
Well, Travis, once again, thank you for joining us on the show, man. So one of the first questions I have, and I enjoy hearing like road stories from professional wrestlers, man. And you said you have a show coming up in Iowa this weekend, so I'm assuming you're going to be driving down. What are those like road trips to different shows like, man? And can you give us some of those stories that you can share on air?
Well, see, I actually live I live in Iowa now.
Oh, I thought you were still here. My bad.
No, I actually, that's why I had to call it. I couldn't like make like a any sort of like trip down and whatnot. But no, I live in Iowa currently. And I guess one of my very first trips, probably my third show, it wasn't necessarily like on the road, but I went to Virginia, West Virginia on a random Tuesday with Congo Kong.
And past guest of the show.
And give or take, this is probably like my third match. And during the show, whatever, I had my match already. And next thing you know, I can't remember who it is, but one of the workers comes in, super drunk, blah, 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 about to go have his match. And next thing you know, the promoter comes up like to the rest of us in the locker room, just hot, because this dude apparently changed the finish, only worked for about 2 minutes, and the promoter just was not having it.
Was it Hawker?
So when the guy came back through, apparently he was super hot as a promoter. Next thing you know, they're fighting. The dude just lays out the promoter.
Wow.
Just straight punches him right in the face. Wow. Right in front of me. I have no idea what to do. Like I said, this is literally my third show, random Tuesday in West Virginia, like a fire station of sorts. And I just looked at Congo and was like, dude, like what do I do? I just mind my business. And thankfully Congo got up, got in the way, you know, with his big self, and was able to kind of control the situation from escalating any more than it did. So
was one of your first thoughts, did you get paid ahead of time?
What was that?
I said, was one of your first thoughts when he knocked him down was, damn, did I get paid yet?
It was more just like, wow, what sort of crazy world am I getting myself into? You know, like, I'm first of all randomly driving to West Virginia on a Tuesday. Like, who's more than likely going to watch wrestling on a Tuesday of sorts? And it was just, yeah, it was wild. You know, I had just graduated because I went to House of Truth first, and I had just graduated from there, and it was just, I don't know, it was wild. I was like, wow. Well, I mean, as kind of terrifying as it was, it made me eager to get out there more and experience more of the world. So as weird as that may sound, it was very, very exhilarating, to say the least.
Well, with that being said, that brings me to a good question. You know, you said that you were trained by Truth Martini here, and then we all know that you were trained by Seth Rollins as well. You know, how, you know, what got you into wrestling, and how did you find your way not only going to Truth, but then out there to Iowa with Seth? How did, give us a little bit of a view into how all that went down for you.
So I've always been a fan of wrestling ever since I was a kid. My brother and I, he was the one who really got me into it. I have three brothers, but the one that was closest to me in age, we were both really into it. And, you know, I went to college at Western Michigan, and I've always been an entertainer at heart. So the whole school thing and everything just wasn't for me. I just knew entertaining people in like a physical aspect with professional wrestling was something I wanted to do. I just didn't know how kind of easy it was to go about signing up for it. So I started looking online as I was about to graduate college, and I noticed Black and Brave first, because it's like the big thing, you know, with Seth Rollins and whatnot.
Right.
Signed up for that, but I had to wait till like January of 2017, I believe. Yeah. But I was like, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. So I was originally going to go to Brian Kendrick's school in California.
Wow.
Send him a message, blah, 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 blah. Got that set up. But then he actually messaged me back and said, you know, there's actually a school called House of Truth down there in Warren, Michigan, you know, near Detroit, that you can go to. You know, just hit them up. It's a lot closer for you, obviously, being in Michigan.
Right.
So, all right, cool. I sent Truth the message. Next thing you know, 3 weeks later, I'm training at House of Truth for the 3-month course that it was. So, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait till January to get started. So then I signed up for Truth Martini School as well and got started there around June of 2016.
Quick question. Do you have a Truth Martini impression?
Oh, Jesus.
Mine's not great. Because the problem, too, is he had neck surgery on when my class started.
Oh.
So I didn't get to necessarily see him as much as most other students would have. I've got to see him more afterwards. But I mean, you know, the typical, yeah, you know, that's about as good as the raspy voice.
Yeah.
It's about as good as I can get. I haven't got to talk to him a whole lot every once in a great while, you know, because he got married and had the neck surgery right around when my class started. So hopefully now, if things keep progressing this way, I'll get to talk to him more and more.
So you mentioned that you're out in Iowa now, and I've seen some of the pictures on Instagram and things like that. Are you on the same accord with Seth and doing the whole CrossFit thing? Does that help your training and stuff like that? The reason why I ask is I actually got to train with Seth and Josh when I was out in New Orleans for Mania. So I just wondered, are you on the CrossFit CrossFit deal too? And do you like it? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I absolutely am. I do Josh's programming with Seth usually Tuesday through Thursday.
Nice.
So we actually train when he comes back to Davenport, Iowa, you know, like for like the school and everything. And we train during the week, 3 days a week. And then the other days when I'm just like by myself or I'm with my other buddy that I train with, we just follow Seth's programming as well as the Dead Boys Fitness programming.
Nice.
To be honest, yeah, I know. I was skeptical about it at first. I didn't really know what I was getting into. I mean, because we kind of had to do it for the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. But it's just something that helps keep my conditioning up well. And I just have noticed that I'm a lot stronger with certain things and my body feels better. Like I may be more sore after doing certain workouts, but like as a whole, I just feel better about myself and I'm more nimble and can move around a lot more efficiently after starting CrossFit. So
I definitely
recommend it. Definitely. If you do it, you got to start at a lower level because there's a lot of movements that are very difficult to do that I still can't do myself after doing it for like a year. So, but no, I enjoy it. It's a good amount of fun.
Definitely had to ask that question because when I worked out with them in New Orleans, I mean, I've been boxing most of my life, played football and things like that. And I mean, that was different than any kind of workout I've ever done. It was definitely awesome, but it was definitely totally different, like you said, with some of the movements and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's tough. It really is. I mean, there's times where I've just wanted to quit and I've been cursing here and there and just, hated my life, but overall, you know, it's definitely done me good. So I have no complaints there.
All right, Mr. Cam, we're going to come to you in a second real quick. So your time at House of Truth and your time training with Seth Rollins, can you compare and contrast both of the schools?
A lot of aspects are the same, you know, like a lot of the curriculum and like it's, you're learning the basics.
Right.
There was no, like, I went to House of Truth and, you know, I did that certain, like, the beginning stuff and then went to Black and Brave and had an advanced course. It was the beginning of everything. Like, you are getting introduced to pro wrestling. I think the main difference is, you know, at Martin's, you didn't have to, like, go to, like, these CrossFit sessions and stuff like that. It was literally 6 to 10, Monday through Thursday. You're in the ring, and then you go.
Okay.
At Black and Brave, you work out a little bit, stay in the ring for about 3 hours, do a post-workout, talk, ask questions to Seth, you know, and do that. But, I mean, a lot of the aspects were the same for the most part. I mean, if you learn, like, there's, like, little tidbits here and there of, like, how you perform this move or you perform that move, and it was slightly different. But at the same time, it was the same core concept that you learn from the bottom up of how to become a professional wrestler. But both definitely did me wonders for where I am today and how I continue to evolve. So definitely grateful that I went to both.
So your first time meeting Seth, how was that?
I mean, I was definitely nervous because he's one of my favorites, you know, growing like through watching and whatnot, like actually seeing him. It was kind of like crazy. But I wasn't as nervous or caught up in the moment as I thought I'd be. And I've noticed that as I've done like extra work and stuff too, that I know where I want to be and how I feel like I can be in like the immediate future, that I can't be like that. And like, I'm not too caught up in the moment and that like I want to be where they are, if not getting to a higher level than where they are. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was definitely nervous. I mean, because anyone would be, but I definitely was pretty excited for the moment at the same time.
So how was it your first time actually stepping into a real ring and your first day of training? Like, I know a friend of mine that did it years ago. He said, like, they line everybody up in the ring, and then they basically have everybody kind of start running drills to kind of see where everybody's at. How was it, like, your first, like, day just stepping into the ring, is your first day starting your journey to become a pro wrestler?
It was a real surreal moment. I mean, because it was just always wanted to step in one, always kind of wanted to see what it felt like. And it was kind of funny. When I stepped through the ropes, I kind of actually hit my nuts on the second rope. And I was like, wow, this is great.
That's the first for this show.
What a way to start this off. But no, I mean, it was cool. It was like, it hurt a lot, but it was like, I knew what I was getting into. Maybe not to like the level, because like, wrestling is so unnatural, and it's just something you don't do in an everyday life capacity. But I really enjoyed it. It was such an awesome moment, and I knew, like, this is where I belonged. This is what I'm supposed to do for a living, and to get to the highest level is where I need to be.
So, quick question that we ask everybody, any professional wrestlers that come on the show, is we got a list that we're actually working on. Eventually, we're going to put the list out, but we ask everybody about locker room etiquette, rules in the locker room. We've had Congo Kong on the show. He said, "What? Wash your nuts." I think that was his.
Yeah. always good sound.
That wasn't
advice.
Quite how he said. He said, "Wash your balls, dude." Nobody.
I believe that.
I think I'll take that outside of the locker room. I'll keep that right in my everyday life.
But yeah, we had it, like, wash your balls. Make sure you shake everyone's hand. Keep your drama and your kids and your girl outside of the locker room.
Don't hit the promoter.
What's that?
Don't hit the promoter.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. But are there any rules that you would like to add to this list, or anything that you like to expound upon that we've
pet peeves that you see a lot of guys, you know, doing that you think could kind of be like a new unwritten rule?
Yeah, it's locker room etiquette.
Mine's just be respectful, you know, and just know kind of like your place, like within like a certain situation, like. Don't interrupt people that are trying to put like a match together or anything like that. You just, mine more than anything is just be respectful. Really, like, you know, kind of keep to yourself. Don't overstep any boundaries. Don't try to like stick out in the back. Just be respectful. Do what you're there to do, you know, to entertain the guys and put together what the promoter had you there for as his purpose. Obviously, as Kong said, definitely make sure your gear is clean. There's so many guys that have come in that have just smelled rancid. And it's just, you need to always show that kind of etiquette like that. I guess, oh gosh, what else could I add? I mean, that's, as simple as it is, it's kind of a good amount to it. If you want to learn, I guess, ask questions. Okay. Certain guys are like, you know, like, hey, could you, like, you possibly watch my match? And like, after like a certain amount of time, you know, like, go ahead and ask them, and like, you know, always be open-minded. Don't try to talk over anybody, and just listen and appreciate everyone's values and perspective on the art of professional wrestling. Such as someone like Congo Kong, you know, like, I always ask him questions. I have him watch my match. So there's, I guess you could do something like that.
Are there any like things that you, like, even being a fan of wrestling, kind of learn, like, some of the backstage etiquette or like unwritten rules that you kind of didn't know that you actually found out, you know, so far as you've been, you know, becoming a pro wrestler?
Honestly, nothing's really surprised me. No, it's more so like, you know, when you first start, you need to build from the ground up. You need to go set up the ring, do this, ask if there's anything else that can be done. And you notice the guys who have put in the time and have been there for a while, such as a guy like Congo Kong, who's been in the business for 10 plus years. And like, you see like where you build up. That's more the thing, I guess, I noticed, where some guys don't do that. where it's almost like they feel as if they don't have to do that. But I feel like regardless, you should always want to help out in any way that you can. At least the way I value certain things, and show that, you know, the promoter should have a reason to book you outside of, you know, being an attraction, being a good locker room leader and whatnot. I think I value that more than anything.
So you mentioned that Seth was one of your favorite guys to watch. Who are some other guys that you like to watch, that you like to watch their matches, whether it be to learn something, you just, or somebody that, like, you know, when they have a match, it's somebody you got to sit down and watch. Like, who are some of the guys that you really pay attention to in the business now?
Daniel Bryan. He's a big, big guy who I like to emulate a lot. AJ Styles. I really like watching Joe and the Miz as well. But before, probably Eddie Guerrero more than anybody, to be honest with you.
My all-time favorite.
Him and Macho Man are definitely my two favorite of all time. But if I had to say nowadays, it would be Seth and AJ and Daniel Bryan that I'd just have to, like, stop everything and watch. And then, like, back in the day, or, like, you know, I look up matches now, Eddie Guerrero and Macho Man for sure. Well, like, I really like watching Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero. Their matches were just fantastic. Yeah.
Well, let me ask a quick question about that, because I was just listening to an interview with Ember Moon, and I know Sasha Banks, she's really big into she was a big Eddie Guerrero fan. And you
really?
Just said
I
that
didn't
too.
Know that.
But what is it about Eddie, from a wrestler's standpoint, what was it about Eddie Guerrero that drew you in, and what did you learn from Eddie Guerrero? Because I hear a lot of people mention him.
He's just always in the moment, whether you're supposed to hate him or you're supposed to love him. Like, everything's just done with a purpose. So, like, if you were supposed to hate him, you hated him. You saw that, like, just swagger and just mean look in his face and just, like, that hatred that he could really build. But then when you're supposed to like him, he's a good guy. Like, he just brought out the best in everything, I thought. It was so hard, because you got some guys, you know, like being a babyface, or you got other guys that more profoundly like working as a heel.
Right.
But I just feel like Eddie Guerrero, more than anyone, could do both really well. Almost more so than anyone I've ever seen do it. He was always in the moment, and just everything was with such a purpose that it was hard for you not to just stay tuned and to stay glued to the TV whenever he was on.
That's the only wrestler's death I ever got emotional over. Wow. Like, I mean, unfortunately, in this business, you hear a lot about people passing.
Right.
That one, I honestly took a minute, like, to process, like, damn, Eddie?
Wait, yeah. So with Eddie, it was not necessarily his actual moveset or his work in the ring. It was more of his... the way he portrayed himself, his emotion, and the way he drew you in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He just, man, because like even watching like his WCW stuff, when he'd walk down with the championship draped over the back of his shoulder, you just saw just how much of a bad guy he was then, and just, I don't know. It was cool. I really enjoyed it. He's definitely one of the core reasons why I watch wrestling now. He's just fantastic, and it's too bad he passed away as early as he did. It really is.
I think one of the greatest representations of
what you were talking about is the feud that he had with Mysterio over the whole thing with Dominic. Just the way they were able to pull on the strings with that one, I always will remember that feud is one of the ones that jumps out for me with Eddie.
And I remember him cussing out Vicky Guerrero, too. She was late.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, too. That was one of the first times I remember hearing somebody go off. I'm like, God damn, where is Vicky at?
Right, so is there anybody that's in the business now that you feel draws that same emotion? I've got someone in mind, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Oh. You know, as a babyface right now, I honestly feel like Seth is probably the hottest one going with like certain things that he does. But the Miz, man, as much as I like despise him as much too, he really can just piss even as much off. As he does, he can just get the crowd engaged no matter whom it is. Like, that's he just is constantly able to get a reaction no matter what. And I truly enjoy watching everything that he does. I really do.
So another question that I had for you, you know, you mentioned that you moved out to Iowa now. What are some of the big differences for you now that you're in Iowa as opposed to Michigan? You know, like, what's the differences in the scenes, or like, what do you like better about one versus the other? Are there any things you miss from one versus the other?
You miss Coney Dogs? That's what our listeners want to know.
I haven't had a Coney Dog in a long time. Wow. But, no, I mean, I definitely miss just being home, but more so I moved out here because I thought it was more of an opportunity for myself to be surrounded by a guy that's at the top.
Right.
To like figure out what do I need to do to get to where I want to be. And if I lived here and could help like create a good relationship with someone like that, that could help mentor me and help me out in any capacity, as long as I put the work in, I thought it was best for myself to move out here. But like similarities, it's pretty, the work seems pretty similar for the most part. I feel like the style is pretty close to the same, I would say. The living situation is pretty much the same. There's not a lot around like where I grew up compared to like here. It's about the same, to be honest with you. Nothing that stands out. Besides the Coney Dogs, I guess I would say.
Well, you have endless supplies of corn out there. I know that.
Yeah, that's true. You can get on some road trips where you don't see anything but fields and corn for about 2 hours.
You know, I hear the Indians.
I can't remember how long it takes to get across Iowa, but it's like 5 or 6 hours, and it's all that. Wow. It's all that, and you have no service on your phone, so you're left just staring. It's bad.
How long is the drive from Iowa back here to Michigan?
Well, whenever I come to XICW, it's about 6.5 to 7 hours.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. But you'll be.
No, it could be worse.
And you say you'll be making that trip, what, September 9th, I think? For XICW. Oh,
I won't be at that one, but I have like close. That's XICW, the Proving Ground show. That's very underrated, and I feel like should get more and more publicity as it goes. I wish I could explain all the concepts to it, but you just got to be there to see it, because it's something different that I really enjoy. But September 16th, I will be back in Detroit for XICW at I forgot where it was at exactly. But
yeah, it's a Masonic temple. Yep.
September 16th, I will be there. So,
well, we're about to roll into break here. We know you're crunched for time, so we're about to go into. We're about to go into our breakdown of SummerSlam and all those things. So unless you can stay for the second half, you know, feel free to plug anything you've got going on. Tell everybody your Twitter handles, Instagram handles, and we really appreciate you coming on again. And we'll be seeing you at the Masonic Temple on the 16th.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me. And again, my Instagram's the Travis Titan, Twitter at the Real Travis Titan. Like I said, just the big show this coming Friday, part of a unique opportunity to be different guys, including myself, in two rings. Really excited for that. Excited to see what's in store. I guess I could do a quick round up of SummerSlam. I thought it was pretty decent for the most part. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed the build of AJ and Joe, The Miz and Daniel, and Seth and Dolph's match also. And I thought the heel turn of Becky was also done very well. So
very much.
So I can't go into more detail of it, but if like I had to say what I had to say, I thought that was what stuck out to me most.
For sure.
Wait, did you watch NXT at all?
I didn't. I saw part of the main event.
Okay.
I definitely go back and watch that
when you get time.
Definitely. Definitely.
I've heard good things.
It's NXT. It's all good.
Okay. So yeah. So one more time, why don't you go ahead and plug that XICW show, and then we'll get you out of here, man.
Yep, September 16th, XICW at the Masonic Temple, Detroit, Michigan. The show starts at roughly 4:30 p.m. I defend my XICW lightweight championship against Kyle Maverick. And as well, you'll get to see, I believe Kongo Kong's there as well.
He is.
Abyss and plenty of other guys that should come out and see. It's going to be a great time. I've never actually wrestled there, but I'm excited for the opportunity to perform in front of a sort of new audience. So definitely be out there September 16th, XICW. Hope to see everyone there. So thank you guys so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Now we'll have to get you a Coney dog when you get there, man.
Yeah, because we'll definitely be in the building. We'll definitely link up with you at the show.
All right. I appreciate it, guys.
No problem, man. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, man.
Are we taking a break, or are we going to go
ahead and roll? Thumbs up for the break or thumbs up for him?
Whatever. Take a break.
Get liquor.
He's done. We need to refresh our drinks, and then we're going to come back with SummerSlam breakdown, NXT breakdown, and we're going to talk about our SummerSlam party that went off very well.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned. Sweet dreams of a rhythm and dance. Shiitake mushroom.
Okay, fat bastard.
I kick you in the neck, you fat bitch. Let me use my pet pen.
I'm literally about to bring the show back. You just randomly yell out shiitake mushroom.
This is my pet pen.
Wow.
Me. What the fuck? Yeah, this is my pet pen.
All right, people. Yes. Round of applause.
Totally didn't mean to click that.
No, you did. It wasn't a Florida slip. You meant to do it. Ski, you guys.
I was going for this one.
I take the fixed one.
All right, people. We're back. And, hey, Randy, about how much time we got left? Maybe like 20 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
So we'll go 35.
No, I got somewhere to be. So,
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry.
What's her name?
Her name is Pamela Henderson.
I'm sorry, I'm late, gentlemen. I was interested with some trim.
Never mind. So let's go ahead and do a quick recap of NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam. We won't go too long because we don't have that much time.
Collison.
Fuck you, half time. I don't even get to say anything.
You were the one who was late.
Yeah, you were late half the time.
That's the tradition. I'm late. Half the time, I go get liquor and then I come in.
And half the time, I don't even get to say my opinion because you don't shut the fuck up.
Wow.
Such aggression. You're holding that shit in high, you big mustache bastard.
Exactly.
Wait, so you know what? No, we're not going to talk wrestling. We're going to have a Dr. Phil moment. You
hell
guys,
no.
You guys need to talk this out.
He's jealous because I'm the first Kyle.
I say we both just kicked Devin in the dick for even
insinuating that. Why are you so obsessed with
dicks?
With accosting people's genitalia, sir?
Because it's the one move that I know works on everybody to take them down.
Not a female. Well, if you're not from East Warren.
Okay, so how about TakeOver?
Meh. No, I'm joking.
I was going to say, I'll smack you.
I'm about to say, who wants to go first and get their thoughts on TakeOver?
I'm going to go first, just because that way I get...
Everyone take your headphones off and stand back so he can have his opinion.
Divas era match.
Fuck you, bitch. Anyway, I thought the show was good. I mean, it wasn't my favorite TakeOver, but at the same time...
Which is?
One of my favorite matches that they had on the card that I think is probably going to be...
What is your favorite TakeOver?
Oh, man.
I'd
actually have to think about that. But anyways, my favorite match on that card might be a pick that most people might not pick, but I thought one of the best matches on the whole card was the Mustache Mountain Undisputed Era match.
It's like, hard to pick a best match on that card, man. It's like every match could be match of the night.
Your whole
pay-per-view is almost match of the night.
But I picked that one not because I thought it was going to be bad, but I was pleasantly surprised just at... I mean, that one would really.
Bad?
No, I didn't think it would be bad, but I'm just saying I didn't think. I don't want to say I didn't think it'd be as good as it was, but I mean, that one had me like, shit. I thought a few different times that both teams could win, so.
Mr. I was a Collison again.
You know what? How about this? Just call him Kyle and just call me Classic. How about that?
Classic.
How about that?
I just got to throw the Mr. in there.
You're not Chavo, bitch.
That's actually what I'll go at when I have a son because I'm naming him Kyle.
Mr. Classic.
In years.
Your thoughts on NXT TakeOver, sir?
Wasn't the best TakeOver, but it wasn't for lack of trying.
And it was still good, though.
But I'm saying they raised the bar so high that you kind of judge them at a different standard. like, I guess years ago it was a, okay, it's, you know, something to have before, you know, the big pay-per-view. Right. They got some good guys. When they started getting talent that they started booking right, having better storylines in the main roster, having, you know, more intimate matches, you know, because a lot of these matches on the entire show had good builds and had like some real wrestling emotion to them. So it just makes it better. So it was a great pay-per-view of that match. That was a good hard-hitting match. And that's what
Throw
I...
mustache.
Yeah. That's why I liked about it, because
Godspeed Era.
That's not the tag team wrestling you see on the main roster. You could not see anything close to that on Raw, SmackDown, or SummerSlam. So not even by default, it was just great.
And even... And the thing that goes with that, too, is, like, I know people always make a joke of it because, obviously, we know they know who's going to win and things. But the thing I like.
Wait, it's fake?
Yeah, in case you didn't know.
Shit.
But
the thing I. Fake is scripted.
Exactly.
Still ruining me, damn it.
The thing that I liked about that is they really made you believe, man, that they were really fighting to win, which a lot of times, man, it just seems nowadays, especially in like the tag team stuff you see on Raw. Case in point, look at what they did with the B team and Revival on Raw. It just kind of seemed like they were just, you know, joking and fucking around. These two
going
teams,
through the motions.
Yeah, these two teams seemed like they were legitimately fighting to win the title.
Remember how good 2017 like wrestling was on the main rosters? Yeah, the Usos, the New Day, the Bar. Yeah, you had some good matches.
Oh, that
little mini Shield revival.
That's definitely a point we're gonna bring up during the SummerSlam review. But for me, I really enjoyed this takeover, man. I ended up watching it after it aired. I was able to stay in the bubble, so I didn't get any spoilers and
shit.
Like, man, as soon as it came on, I was locked in because the Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era was the
great
first match
to start.
Triple H loves putting them damn pictures out because I was on like a 5-minute break and I just happened to go on Instagram and I just see the Kyrie Sane. Wait, I'm like, Jesus, why did I even go on Instagram?
But I mean, since we really touched on the tag team match, I want to talk about Ciampa versus Gargano again. And like,
you want to build up to that one?
Was,
you know,
well,
go through the card, you know, as in order, in match order.
No. And the reason why I want to bring that one up is because this is the fifth time they wrestled each other. The Cruiserweight Classic, the Loser Leaves Town match, what was it? The Unsanctioned match, the Chicago Street Fight. Now this one, and this was basically the, you know, winner of the series ended up being Tommaso Ciampa, but it wasn't planned to be that way. And I was worried that because Aleister Black backed out that I was not going to want to see this again because mm-hmm. it's the fifth time. And it's like, how many times? What else can they do?
Shit.
Man. And they delivered again. That scene, that part when Ciampa took that chair and ran and kneed Gargano through the barricade and started throwing shit on top of him through one of the production people on top of Gargano.
What about how that guy got his ass whipped on both shows?
Yeah.
The same guy had the same shirt on and got fucked up on both shows. He got tossed like a leaf.
But, and the other thing I was worried about was the fact this was a last man standing match. And like, last man standing matches tend to
drag on.
Yeah, and they have lulls. And like, this one didn't have that.
The one versus AJ and Shinsuke actually wasn't that bad of a last man standing match to me.
It wasn't that bad, but there were moments where they lost me.
Yeah.
But in this, I like, even during the 10 count, you see like Ciampa in the background, like, come on, count faster, count faster. And it's just the way that they pull people in is amazing to me. And that tells me that they have the ability to write great stories.
Do it on Monday and Tuesday night, damn it.
More so Monday than Tuesdays. Yeah. Tuesdays has that moment, but I really enjoyed that match. The rest of the card was great too, from top to bottom. I felt like Velveteen versus EC3. It was a good match, but I felt like their chemistry didn't really work with each other.
That's one, like, I think I said that last week. I was just worried because, yeah, you can take two contrasting styles and put them together and, you know, get magic. Or you can get two great wrestlers that just don't have a really great match. I've right. seen better matches from both of them.
Right.
And that was one of my fears because, like I said, I don't think those two guys should have been in a match versus each other right now because
They're both trying to be built.
Exactly. I'm like, right. EC3 coming in being one of the faces, another one of the faces, but the latest, of Impact Wrestling, getting him back, keeping that same gimmick, keeping that same name. He needed that push. Velveteen, who's had a great great rise. I would not, if I was putting, if we're going old school, in the 2006 GM mode on SmackDown versus Raw, I'm not putting those two in a match versus each other because I don't want either guy to lose any momentum.
I agree.
Only problem with that for me, though, man, is like they really kind of got themselves into a tough spot because I think EC3 probably needed to win more, but at the same time, Velveteen Dream is lost on most of the big takeovers, yeah. So he needed a win too.
He hasn't won since Cassius Ohno, but everybody beats Cassius Ohno.
Poor Chris Hero.
But let's go ahead and move over to SummerSlam.
Tigers win. Yep. Hot damn. Circle the day in red.
Yeah, now there's 60 and 150. Fuck off. Last thing about Ciampa and Gargano, even though it's August, this is the best thing this company has done this year.
You think it was better than the other two matches, though?
No, I mean just in general. Their whole storyline is the best writing, the best emotion, in the top, I'd probably say, five of best matches, if you're looking at a series of matches they've done this year with any two guys, because they do the same match every week on Raw. If you take that and put it in a vacuum, 2018 might be the year you think of Gargano and Ciampa as being their year that they really made the company. Because when I'm thinking of WWE now, my immediate thought is AJ Styles, is Brock Lesnar, is Roman Reigns, but they're right there. Like, see, just their impact on what they're doing with pure old school 80s NWA classic wrestling storytelling. Yeah. It's just the best stuff they're doing.
First of all, shout out to Angie Pasquez of the show that was here last week because she was there.
I don't know why I did that.
But that's why you did it. But
for our best.
I you know, whoa. Stop being so hostile. But
you always want to kick people in the dick.
I'm not being hostile, okay? But to get back on point, you know, that match out of the whole thing the whole weekend, I was about this close to going to SummerSlam, and that match alone, I have to say, was probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest reason I was bummed that I wasn't there. Because just, and Devin can speak on this, because ring the bell, bitch, it's not just me. He was there too.
You missed it.
I still got the job done, and that's what she said. But anyways, that match, each one consecutively has been so great, and it's not, and they do such a good job of telling the story that not one of those matches is the same as the last one.
That's what's
each that, one has good. Different finishes, has different elements to it, but then they still tie the whole story of it in. And like the thing with the handcuffs, I think was such a clever finish because they've used handcuffs throughout all three matches, and then to have him only win because he's draped by handcuffs and is standing up because of that, dude, that's great.
As that was, still the street fight where Ciampa pulls the ring back, and then 15 minutes later, that's how he wins.
Right.
I was watching it on my PlayStation 4 at the time. I got up out of my chair and started clapping because I'm like, that is how you foreshadow. That is how you bring it all back to the one element that you wanted to close on. I'm like, that's quintessential wrestling to me. Like, if I think of
quintessential, there you go.
God damn it. I actually try to go this whole show without saying it. If I think of like the best wrestling ever,
we know you've been reading your thesaurus.
Yeah,
I spat it out. Okay.
All right. You got to get to SummerSlam, guys.
But yeah, that to me made the whole weekend.
All right. We're gonna go through SummerSlam. I'm gonna start because I find something very, very, very wrong with their booking.
How long we got?
But I'm gonna make it real quick, and I don't understand. We got 5 minutes.
Devin's corner.
Real quick. Why do they hate Kevin Owens? They made Kevin Owens look so terrible. That match went literally a minute and 50 seconds. Kevin Owens looked like he just looked terrible, and that did nothing.
That was probably the second thing they've done this year where nobody picked that. Nobody picked the squash.
But I'm just like Kevin Owens in general. Like they've thrown him through everything, off of stuff, and this who did he piss off?
Have you ever thought that maybe that's because they know that he can get himself over, whether they keep him
but
a bad guy or
still,
a good guy.
Man, it's. This is the former longest reigning.
I get it.
One of the top five best guys.
Don't mistake what I'm saying. I like KO, and I would have liked to seen a little bit more from him. But what I'm saying is, do you think that maybe part of the reason they do that is because they know KO is a guy that whether you give him chicken salad or chicken shit, he'll make something.
After a while, their whole thing is perception. So it's like if they want the lay fan, they don't care about us. They know they're getting their $9.99 a month and their t-shirt money from us. It's the lay fan. So if the lay fan just got into this, oh, this big Kevin Owens guy, he's shit. He can't wrestle. Right, he keeps getting beat. Why should I even buy his t-shirt?
The whole year, man. It's just
hasn't been a good year for him.
I feel like Vince is like pissed off about Mania last year for some reason.
But it's like
something.
It's like Bruce Pritchard says all the time on his show. Everybody can't be at the top all the time.
But and I'm not even saying he had to be at the top, but like you literally just made him look like a little kid, like a little baby. Like he made him look bad this whole time.
He didn't look good at any of this. And you could have did that with anybody. Hell, you could have gave Curt Hawkins that same role and it would have had the same outcome because like
no,
it KO's better than this. He's better than getting pushed over in a porta potty.
That's my whole point. All right, Mr. Campbell, your thoughts on SummerSlam? Anything that stood out to you?
It was good. Wasn't great. Some of the things got me is like a surprise. Like they really spent hours on Finn's makeup for a 3-minute match.
I don't even think it was three.
And then like he wanted to bring the demon.
A minute 35 seconds.
Jesus. he wanted to bring the demon back because he, you know, this called for it. And then when he comes out the next night on Raw for his final, his first, you know, rematch for basically for a universal title, he comes out with his black trunks.
But that made sense though.
No, I get it. But it's like, it was okay. But it's some of the things I'm like,
I think.
And what the hell are the Bellas doing in the freaking match? Where the hell is that coming from? I'm like, all right, I know they're like promoting the show, but I'm like, okay, why are y'all in the ring with Ronda?
Because
like,
they're going to start bringing them back for Evolution.
I know. It's just like they literally with no buildup, no chaser. Hey, Bellas, remember them?
Here's Ronda.
They're halfway from the Diva and the Women's Evolutionary. They're in that little section right there. That little Diva, that little Women's Revolution. But hey, they're here with Ronda. Like, okay. I did kind of get emotional when Natty came out. I wasn't expecting her.
Me either.
I wasn't expecting her. When I heard that music and I saw it with the jacket, I'm like, oh, man.
Especially
like,
considering the funeral was, what, the day before?
Yeah.
Mr. Collison, your thoughts on SummerSlam?
I don't think it was the best SummerSlam I've seen, but I definitely think it wasn't bad. I liked it. I think they did a good job with what they had. I think part of the problem is, like we've talked about before, when you have a show that's that long, it's hard to keep someone's attention all the time unless you're there. Obviously, like when we went, you know, it's easy to do when you're there. But when you're watching it at home, that's a long time to sit there and watch the shit. But
do y'all watch the pre-show when y'all don't?
I honestly don't.
I just wanted to ask.
I guess the things that stuck out to me, I thought, as surprising as this is going to sound coming from me, I thought that I actually liked the way they did the thing with the whole Roman thing. I think it was good to have him win that way, especially considering how the crowd was so pissed about Brock Lesnar.
That was smart. It was a perfect place
to do that with it being in New York, because if you can do that and get that crowd hype, it's instantly going to hype up the rest of them, especially with them being in Brooklyn. And then seeing what we saw on Monday with them bringing the Shield back, I didn't see that shit coming.
I think they're burning that bridge now. It's like
– no, I don't think so, though. I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. The only reason I think it's not a burned bridge is because when they tried to do it the last time, you know, injuries got in the way. So it wasn't like they had a full run, and I think everybody really did want to see them get put back together.
They did.
As far as SummerSlam itself, man, I think obviously the Roman match, I thought – The Miz and Daniel Bryan would have been better had it been a little higher on the card. But I, you know, in a lot of talk we see in the reality era news group is a lot of people shitting on, you know, Ronda and all that shit. I thought that was very well done, too, because, I mean,
three moves to doom.
I mean, dude, but, I mean, what really do you expect from somebody like her, though?
I mean, if you're getting trained by Natalya, I'm like... That one, what the hell is that? It's like a half angle slam, half
Samoan slam. Yeah,
like it's cool, but that's pretty much easy. I mean, she literally has the moveset of an N64 created character.
But she's not gonna have
armbar finisher. Armbar finisher.
She's not
arm
gonna have a lot of finisher. Moves though, and it's something we can talk about on another show. But
she's cool.
All,
but
I thought, yep. I mean, I thought it was great. And
glad the title's on Bliss.
Shout out to the guys from Breaking Down the Ring. Everybody that came out for the party.
Hashtag we had drunk Randy. Yeah,
we had
We wanted drunk Randy tonight.
We had Buzz Randy.
I had three beers and a shot in over the span of 3 hours.
Yeah, I don't think
we had Buzz Randy.
Yeah,
but we need a drunk Randy.
Overall, we had 50 plus people there. Shout out to Thomas McGee's for having us. We had a great time. We'll definitely have something in store for.
Thank all of you that showed up.
Survivor Series. Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Seat and City and. Yeah, man, it was great. We definitely will be doing something big for Survivor Series as well. Definitely keep your eyes open for that, and definitely show up. You'll definitely have a good time.
All right. Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media and all that good stuff, man.
Detroit Knockout on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T, Kyle Collison on Facebook. Make sure you follow the show page, Knockouts and Three Counts podcast page, and be on the lookout here. We're definitely going to have some big news in the realm of the MMA game for us with TXC coming up September 22nd. And the new launch of past guest of the show, well, call-in of the show, Matt Frendo. Lights Out MMA is going to have Herb Dean coming in to referee here in Michigan. Yeah. So we definitely are going to be linked up with those guys soon. And, yeah, keep your eyes open. We got a lot of good stuff coming to you.
Mr. Campbell.
B-minus for SummerSlam late. Kyle Campbell, Kyle J. Campbell on Facebook. If you find the Kyle Campbell page, that's my other page. Don't go to that one. Go to Kyle J. Campbell.
It's all about the J.
It's all about the J, baby. Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos. K-A-Y-O-S. That's it.
All righty. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinTheT63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the Knockouts and Three Counts Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. That's KO3C Pod. Make sure you check out the Reality Era news page on Facebook where we talk wrestling.
Respectful wrestling.
Yes, sir. If you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you find your vehicle and you go to make your purchase, use the reference code 19309 and you will receive $500 on your purchase.
Carlson.
Hey, make sure you check out audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500 so that you can get a 30-day free trial. And
you mean it's not 1939 like Southfield Quality Cars?
Thank you for ruining the read, sir. You get your first 30 days for free, baby. And you get your first audiobook on audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. All that being said, we'll check you all next week.
Fuck your couch!
Peace.